From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. Detroit is the center of the football universe this week. The city and the thousands that are gathering here are readying themselves for the American phenomenon that we know as the Super Bowl. We're broadcasting live from the Detroit Breakfast House and Grill, a popular eatery in the Motor City that's playing host to some of the many parties that accompany the big game. Later in the show, we'll have a special roundtable that looks at the current state of blacks in the National Football League. From the sidelines to the big money that is the NFL, what role do blacks play? But first, an interview with a man that has become the face of football's pregame. For more than two decades, broadcaster James Brown has covered some of the premier events in sports. From the Olympics to the NCAA basketball championships, Brown has been front and center. But he's best known for his role as host of NFL Sunday on Fox, America's most popular pregame football show. The Harvard grad sat down with me yesterday at the studios of WDET in Detroit.
JB, welcome. Good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you, Ed, as well.
I want to talk to you about the big event and whether people really realize and understand how big the Super Bowl is beyond football. Do you think they do?
I think folks are getting a handle on it now, certainly via the overwhelming number of media folks who are there covering the event now. And I know from a network standpoint, it's so important in terms of what you do in covering this game because there are so many more casual eyeballs coming to the set in multiples. That's where the networks and, of course, the sponsors. Look at the kind of money they're paying for 30-second commercials now. That gives you some sense of how big this event is.
JB, when you think about football, it is truly America's sport. You being such an integral part of the game, beyond just the familiar face, you are, to a great degree, a great ambassador for this sport. You certainly realize that. Talk to me about how you take that on your shoulders.
Wow. You know what? And that is a pretty serious responsibility because I recognize that, again, the number of casual viewers that I alluded to earlier who tune in are learning about what they consider to be a fairly esoteric sport, but we try to deal with it in presenting the information to them in lay terms, not condescendingly so. And folks will learn a lot about the game by way of what we say and how we present it. Having a conversation as if you're sitting in the kitchen with someone or in this, the recreation room. That's what I try to do, to be a bridge, if you will.
What of the idea of being an African-American in a high-profile spot and knowing the responsibility that comes with that? Because one of the niceties, JB, and you and I have known each other for a long, long time now, and I've always saluted you for this. Unlike, quite frankly, some of the other blacks who've been hired through the years, particularly ex-athletes, there's a certain kind of black I think they like, particularly for sports, that they put on. No knock against these guys. But, Jay, you're so polished, so well-versed. I know that's a sense of pride, not only for you, but for our community, and I know you get that all the time.
I take this responsibility very seriously. Unfortunately, there's still far too many people who have a very narrow perception and viewpoint of what an African-American ought to be like or has been stereotypically in this kind of position. We are from a very diverse community, and not all just academicians or CEOs. I mean, we've got postmen, we've got refuse workers out there who are very well-versed. So I try to do a job where I'm not trying to feign being something that I'm not, but this is who I am, and hopefully that I can deal with Prince and Pauper alike. However, if there are some meaningful issues, then, hey, you know what? Let's go inside of that as well, too, and let's talk about it and be for real. You're going to upset some people, and for the longest time, I know I have been of the mindset, well, you know, this is as a youngster. I want everybody to like me. But you know what? It's not about being liked. It's about being honest. It's about being fair. It's about being genuine and calling it as it is and present it in that fair a light, that honest a light, and let people make their own judgments.
One of the great journalistic shows on television, quite frankly, is Real Sports with Brian Gumbel. You're an integral part of that, JB, and you take a real in-depth and insightful look at many, many topics on that show. I want to ask you about the black athlete today and how you see him as a monolith, obviously. Do you like what you see?
By and large, yes, but I qualify that to say that, one, black athletes have, I think, always and even to a greater degree now been on a pedestal. The visibility, the profile, exceptional. Parity and pay, absolutely now. The money is there. Too many youngsters look at that and want to go that route only and solely for all of what they perceive to be the glitz and glamour associated with it. In terms of athletics, certainly in football, head coaching positions. Yeah, we've got some very prominent ones who are doing well, but when you look at the numbers, Ed, look at recently, nearly one-third of the positions in NFL were open, and we don't have one.
Were you shocked about that, JB?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's nothing rational that you can say about that in explaining logically why that is.
The idea that the NFL had pushed minority candidates, saying they wanted to see more, for those who are not familiar with professional football, more African-Americans in the ranks of head coaching and coordinator jobs, which is essentially one step below. As you alluded to, one-third of the positions open this season. We saw Herm Edwards move from
lateral
one job
move.
To another, a lateral move. And then at that point, no blacks hired.
And there's no excuse for it. Now, the NFL has in place a policy where for every opening that there has to be at least one minority interview. Okay, you know what? It's a step. But in talking with the head of the Fritz Pollard Alliance, he has made it perfectly clear, John Wooden, an ex-player himself, a pro bowler, that this rule, this policy, needs to be extended to the front office. Absolutely. Because to the degree that the decision influencers and decision makers are still all of one hue, all of one mindset, you don't have diversity of discussion. That's not good for business, Ed. So there's got to be more movement. There's got to be more color. There's got to be more diversity in the front office. So, yes, in terms of what's happening with black athletes, yeah, I like it. But what I think needs to get even more visibility, to get back to that question and maybe put an answer to it more succinctly, I like to see what I wrote about in the Ebony magazine on their 60th anniversary edition, is to see us as a people get more meaningfully involved in preparing for life after athletics in business. These guys and women have a golden opportunity with access across many spectrums to form relationships, to move into businesses. And a number of people of doing that. Keyshawn Johnson, Magic Johnson, Shaquille O'Neal, Deion Sanders, Troy Vincent, a number of these guys have got construction companies, businesses, etc., that employ folk. So now they're creating a legacy and opportunity for family members to follow in their footsteps. And we can do that. We are as creative a bunch as anyone else, so let's get ourselves involved meaningfully in something where we've got income that we're generating passively for generations to come, as opposed to just while we're able to perform as gladiators on the field.
JB, how do we impart, using yourself as an example, a guide, the personification of, if you will, an understanding to young black males in particular, but young people in general, the importance of having education, even when you look at the money that these guys are making today? You, Harvard grad, but you were drafted, I'm sure had the dream of going to the NBA, didn't make it, but had a Harvard education to fall back on. We've got to impart this on these young kids, that you need both.
And you know what, Ed, as much as, and I'm going to answer that question, and as much as what I just said and what I'm about to answer in your question, I talk about what I desire for African-Americans in general. Certainly, specifically, I'm preaching to myself in that regard as well, too, because I am still an employee, and I'm looking to become an employer as well in terms of what I'm doing, setting the right example, hopefully, for my daughter. My daughter, and then she'll probably smack me for this, but you know, she's taking a couple years off for school, but her father is repeatedly drumming home that point. You've got to get your degree. And I understand why young folk want to aspire to become professional athletes when they see what the riches are associated with it in a number of different arenas, not just money, but you know what? It's not for everybody. And for me, as much as I was blessed to have a great education, Ed, I wanted to be a pro basketball player. Mm-hmm. I pursued it aggressively. And when that athletic rug figuratively and literally was snatched from up under my feet, let me tell you, it hurt unbelievably. And I even tried the following year after being cut by the Atlanta Hawks, Red Auerbach had me come to trial for the Boston Celtics. It was so that at this point in my life, when I look back, I could not say, well, what should have, could have. I gave it two good opportunities, and although I was asked to go overseas and play basketball to polish my skills to come back and give it a shot at the NBA, I'm thinking I don't want to be hanging on the fringes, on the periphery of something like that. The whole point of getting an education was to be successful in the game of life, so that's why I went about it. And that education, that solid education, can come from any institution in the country. Just maximize what talents, what God-given ability that you have, so that you can take that gift and go out out and maximize it in the game of life.
JB, we should note that you're being saluted with the first annual Pat Summerall Award, and it really talks not only about a lifetime achievement in your career as a sportscaster, but the idea that you give back to the community. You got to be proud of that.
I am, and it's really humbling. Ed, like you said, you've known me for a long time, and I think you know the kind of low-key person that I am. It's humbling to be given the first Pat Summerall Legacy Award, which I guess Ed says I've been around for a while, you know, as much as I still got the little gray roots showing in the hair now that we snip off every now and then. But it's humbling. Ed, yeah, you know what? We do have to ensure that those who are just as deserving but maybe don't have the opportunity benefit from those of us, you included in all of us, what we've experienced, what we've benefited, to be able to give back, because then the community as a whole, and I'm talking multi-ethnic, we all benefit to the degree that we develop these wonderful gems out there, these wonderful pearls who just need the opportunity and see somebody give back. Back in Washington, D.C., I know the D.C. College Access Program that's headed up by a friend of mine who works for Donald Graham of the Washington Post, the publisher of the Post, works with providing college opportunities for any high school, graduating high school senior in Washington, D.C. These students, Ed, if you could hear some of the stories, to see some of these students who many people had discarded, looked askew at, you know, didn't want to be involved with, these are gems. I talked to three young African-American women, high school seniors, blew my mind how sharp and polished they were and wanting to give back. Well, that's what we need. So when you see that, you can't help but be inspired to want to go out and help as much as you can in as broad an area as possible.
JB, no more person deserving of that kind of award and all the accolades that you've received throughout your career, my friend. And, you know, I don't want to make it sound as though I'm just blowing your horn, but you know how I feel about you, man. And it's always good to talk to you, JB.
And you know what? Likewise, because, Ed, what you're doing is setting a standard for others to see what the breadth and scope of opportunities are as well. And I commend you. I know we're not supposed to be into this mutual admiration society, but continue what you're doing as well.
JB, thanks for being with us.
God bless you, Ed. Thank you very much for having me.